Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A Lola, Lola.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the warm mitten. The field is green, full of nutrients from the mothership. Born in the deep, pure Michigan, Craig Russell. What a show.
Do you think spring is finally here?
Spring
sure
is here.
It sure seems like it, man.
There is still snow in the great state of Superior.
Yes, there is.
Hands down.
Even a little bit in the northwest corner, too, still. Petoskey in that area still got some snow. But for the most part, man, you feel like spring is here.
Spring is here.
Yes.
Hey, we have a huge show today.
Yeah, we do.
If you can hear in the background some rattling and noise, it's because one of my closest friends, he's family, Biker Bob, is on the show.
Biker Bob, welcome.
Biker, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're in the middle of doing something right now, is that correct?
Yeah, well, actually what I was doing is I was disconnecting my pup trailer from my Lee trailer.
Okay,
gotcha. I drive a gravel train.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I've mentioned Biker Bob on the show for years.
Thousands of times.
When we talked about this,
okay,
about honor and loyalty and how you have friends in your inner circle.
Yep.
Biker is the head of my loyal inner circle, along with, you know, Anthony Z and Tizzy and G Money. Very close. And then you got those outer layer of friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So how we met was, I was 16 years old. Okay. I'm going to be 53. 16. That's almost 40 years ago.
You don't look 53.
I'm 16. I'm way up north on a dirt road with a girlfriend at the time. I was driving a white Chevy Blazer. True story.
Okay.
I'm on a back dirt road. I locked my keys in. I didn't know what to do. Out of nowhere comes Biker Bob. And let me tell you about Biker Bob. Big guy.
Okay.
He's handsome. By the way, he's a drummer. Very talented. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
But I'm talking big guy. And I'm thinking, oh boy. You know, he helped me out. I was 16. He's been literally family to me ever since. Right,
that's
Biker
awesome.
Bob?
That's right, yeah, and vice versa.
Yep,
vice
that's
versa.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I love hearing stories like that.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
Well, Todd, you know, since we met that day, me and Todd have been very close. I mean, he's as close to me as my club brothers are. Very close. And I depend on Todd, and, you know, I at times he helps me out, and I help him out. And it's a brother relationship between me and Todd.
Yep.
It's always been that way. And Todd's a stand-up person, very, very loyal, very, very dedicated to what he's doing and to his closest friends.
I totally agree with that.
That's admirable. That's
totally
very admirable of him.
Yes.
That means a lot. I appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you, big brother. Biker Bob, sincerely, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. I love you so much, and your family, and
well,
you know,
love you too,
the
brother.
Club, everything. Hey, before we start the show, by the way, and we have a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah, we do.
I mean,
there's
a lot to talk about.
A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff.
And the one thing about Biker, you know, he years back he would drive over the road. These big 18 wheelers. We're always talking about truck safety and respect truckers. He would send some of the most beautiful pictures from out west as if you were there.
Oh wow.
I mean, Biker, those I just want to tell you on the radio, those pictures were beautiful.
The pictures don't really do them justice. When you're actually seeing these big Rocky Mountains out the windshield, it's just really, seriously, it's just breathtaking, and it doesn't get old. I mean, I've been across 70, I've been across 15, I've been down 15. I've been and I've seen a lot of beautiful, beautiful scenery. I mean, one in particular was I was heading south on 25, south of Denver, Colorado, and it was wintertime, and I guess it was rutting season, and I seen two bucks come running out towards the highway, and they stopped, like dead in their tracks, and you could see the condensation, the air coming puffing out of their noses. From them running.
That's like right out of a movie or like a documentary. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Oh, it was.
Well, I just want to say I love those pictures, but we have a lot of show to get to. But before we do, before we go to break, I have a quick complaint. we have enough time.
Oh, you've got
2 minutes.
Plenty of time. We got plenty of time.
Quick complaint. I got to get this off my chest.
Are you kidding? We got plenty of time.
I'm at dinner a week ago with Big Hair.
Okay.
Big Hair is always on a show.
Which Big Hair, whose birthday was this past
Happy
week?
Happy birthday,
right.
Big Hair.
It was on Wednesday last week.
I think it was on Monday, wasn't it?
No, it was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
58, Big Hair.
58. Are you sure?
I said happy birthday to him on on the radio show this week.
His Prius now gets like 86 miles to the gallon. But Biker,
I got 110.
Here's the deal. We're at a steakhouse a week ago. Just his wife, Big Hair, and myself. And the bill comes.
Okay.
And obviously he says, not obviously, but he says, oh, I got it. I'll take care of it. And I said, no, I can take care of my own bill. And he says, nope, I got the bill. So he takes the bill. And, obviously I want him to pay for it, but you have to say, no. So he takes the bill, and then I say, well, how about I leave the tip?
Sure. There you go.
Okay? So, and he says, his wife says, okay. They say, okay, leave the tip.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Okay, the two of them ordered steaks with sides. I mean, big expensive meal.
Right.
I already ate. I had a side salad. The tip ended up being more than my salad would have cost. So in the end, I ended up paying, I ended up paying more for the meal than I would have paid for my side salad. And here's the other thing, if someone's offering to treat you, you should not have to pay the tip. Right? Biker?
But
in this case, the problem is, in this case, my salad was probably $6 with tip $8.
Okay.
I end up leaving a $17 tip.
Are you ever going to have a meal with Big Hair ever again?
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Then you'll probably all even itself out in the end. You'll probably pay for the next one, or he'll pay for the next
one. He ate all the bread that comes to the table. I'm just saying.
Next time he's paying, order lobster.
I just think if you're treating, you're paying the tip also. Unless it's Biker.
Yeah.
Because if it's Biker, I'm paying and a tip. Because he's my big brother, and I have nothing but respect for my big brother, so it's on me.
Thank you,
but Biker doesn't let me do that. He always takes care of me. Hey, we have to go to break. We have a lot to talk about.
We
want to talk about some of the issues in regards to cannabis in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I have something I want to say just briefly. I don't want to get into it, into the school safety, politics, motorcycle safety, truck safety, and much more when we come back on the Todd Levitt Law Show with Craig Russell and my brother, Biker Bob. We'll be right back.
Champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A, Lola, 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 Lola.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with the Kinks, my all-time favorite group
and all-time favorite song, Lola.
Lola.
Yes.
Love it. And we're joined by my brother, Biker Bob. Biker, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Now, have you ever had Biker Bob on the show before? Have you ever been on the show? Never, ever? Wow. This is your first time, Biker Bob. Well, congratulations.
Yep, first time.
Yep, first time.
Awesome. Thank you there, Craig.
I've been getting a lot of calls, emails from friends, from colleagues, you know, what's my opinion, you know, on what's going on with school safety and the Second Amendment. I mean, we're Second Amendment constitutionalists through and through. But there's just something I want to say about school safety, and thank God my kids are out of school.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my take on it. Biker, how is it that I can wake up, go to court, and I'm safer in court than my kids are in their schools? How is it that I can wake up, go to the airport, and I'm safer in an airport now, apparently, allegedly, than I am than my kids going to school? How is it I can go to the bank and I'm safer? This is different day and time. Things have to change. Those schools have to change. There's no reason as an adult that I'm safer in court than the kids are.
Well, the reason why I believe is because anybody that's going to go, I mean, anybody that's somewhat sane is not going to go to a courthouse because they know the police are there. They know that they have handguns, you know, as well as any other place like that. Now, a school, you hear all the time about, you know, no guns, you know, and where else are they going to go that somebody's not going to be able to physically fight them back? Because you go to a courthouse and you're going to have adults there. Most of them are going to be adults. So, I mean, there's more of a chance of this person having a harder time or a big opposition to what he wants to do.
They can no longer be soft targets. The schools can no longer. And here's I've said this before on the show. I'm on the record as saying I have no problem with 1, 2, 3, 4 student teachers or veterans or someone who is educated in firearm safety and that entire area possess weapons in school. And here's the other thing. So you'll hear people say on the news, well, you know, if something happens, God forbid, the officers are going to shoot them. Well, here's what you do. You wear certain, if something, God forbid, happens, you know, at this point in time, the law enforcement knows, SWAT knows who these individuals are. They wear certain colors, so they're pointed out. I mean, I just think things have to change. Things have to change. They cannot be soft targets, and I'm all for arming schools and changing the physical structures of schools and how people get into the campuses. We need to start spending money in that area.
That's funny you're talking about that, because I heard on the CB radio about a couple guys just a half an hour ago talking about what they ought to do with these the retired military guys or the guys that are out of the military and they don't have a job. You know, put them in them schools. They've got the training. You know, I mean, as long as they're not too bad of post-traumatic stress syndrome or something like that, you know, be evaluated, but give them a job.
Absolutely.
I mean, put them in them schools to guard the doors. I mean, it's just becoming an epidemic now to where people or kids are calling into schools and reporting something like that because they want a day off. You know, well, let's prepare ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not...
This world is changing so fast and so bad.
As a Second Amendment loyalist here that we are on the show, I'm not getting into, you know, the issue of taking away someone's constitutional rights. I'm just specifically referring to school safety, and, you know, the people in the state and federal level have to start allocating funds to rebuild our schools, and things have to change. We have to change it generationally, and I agree with the veterans 100%. But anyhow, I just want to point that out. That's my opinion. But hey, we're talking with my good friend Biker Bob on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show with the handsome and talented Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle.
Sure, whatever.
25 days a week.
Sometimes 26.
And we had a huge response to the show last week, Biker. We had attorney Matt Abel on, and we were talking.
Yeah, I know. I listened.
Yeah, great show. We were talking about legislation, and he mentioned microgrows. I got a lot of calls about that.
Uh-huh. I thought that was going to be the big deal.
Yeah,
right,
so
there.
We're looking forward to the end of federal prohibition in regards to cannabis and everything, CBDs and whatnot. I mean, the states are going the right way right now, so we're pretty happy about that.
Well, they're going, you know what, listen, I sent you a text about when I listened to that program.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Abel had compared, you know, they want to regulate marijuana the same as they do alcohol. And I totally disagree with that. And here's why. The reason is alcohol affects you totally different than what weed does. Totally different. And you could be drunk when you wake up the next morning, depending on how much you drank the night before. But if you smoke a lot the day before and even that night, and you wake up, you're not going to be high like you was. You're able to function, you know. And they're comparing lemons, which is the alcohol, to apples, which is the weed. There's no comparison as far as the way it alters your mind, the way it makes you act. There's no comparison.
And
sorry.
And there's also the same thing you can make for the Schedule I drugs, marijuana.
Yes.
Being compared with heroin and being compared with opioids. Yep. I mean, the really hard stuff. There's no comparison there either.
No. Well, see, Schedule III. What is it? The Zoloft, the Paxils, those type of drugs, and the narcos, you know, something like that. If I'm not mistaken, I've heard of a lot of people that I take them all the time.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they abuse them, and that's a Schedule III.
Yeah,
you know, and it just does not make no sense. I mean, common sense here is not being used.
Well.
This reefer madness syndrome just seems to be sticking around. And people
Biker Bob, common sense and the government don't go together. Let's just not get ourselves there. Come on.
Right.
And by the way, under Schedule I, I mean, if you look at some of the definitions, it's substances in the schedule have a high potential for abuse, and which may lead to severe psychological or physical dependence. You know, and they give examples of the different narcotics and the dopamine and other fentanyl. How is that compared to cannabis? It just, I mean, how
you
many,
know,
I always say there should be a third lane. You got the slow lane, the fast lane, and then the chillaxed lane. You got everybody just chillaxing down the road.
Man.
You know what it is, Todd? It's a money game here.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about money.
It all boils down to money. Because, like, the CBD oils, they take pain away from people. And it's natural, you know, but they want to prescribe you hydrocortisones, or they want to prescribe you, you know, Tylenol 800 or something. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
A narcotic. And people, doctors, and these pharmaceuticals are getting paid for this. Now, if they start bringing in these CBD oils and this weed that actually will help you, then that's going to take money out of their pockets, which they don't want that to happen. It's the same deal with alcohol. If they, you know, I mean, when alcohol was in prohibition, before alcohol was illegal, weed was legal. And when they had prohibition, weed was still illegal, just like alcohol. But when they ended prohibition, alcohol became legal again, but weed stayed illegal. And why?
Oh, because they didn't know anything about it back then. They should have, had they been able to do the testing and the stuff that they know
and
now.
And here's the other thing.
It wouldn't have had the stigma that it had before.
And as I travel through the state, Biker, and by the way, we're talking with literally my big brother, Biker Bob, who I've known for literally 40 years. He's part of my inner circle. I love you, Biker Bob. You know, as I travel through the state advocating for townships to opt into the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, I'd have, you know, people with different opinions, and which are entitled to.
Sure.
That which makes our country so great. First Amendment, Second Amendment, so on. But I would ask the crowd, I would say, I want everyone to raise their hands. How many of you have consumed alcohol and know the effects of alcohol? So everybody would raise their hands.
Everybody.
And then all the naysayers who didn't want the cannabis in their community, I would say, how many of you have ever, you know, tried it medically, CBDs, or otherwise, legally tried cannabis? I wanted to keep it legal. None of the haters would raise their hands. So until you've tried something medically or otherwise, how can you hate on it and say, oh, it's a horrible thing? It's not a gateway drug. It's an exit drug.
Because the government...
It's an exit drug.
Because the government has
said...
It's
not even a drug.
It's illegal.
It's exit medicine.
And there are some people who blindly just follow what the government says.
It's an exit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right. Because for 100 years, they say something's illegal. Oh, it's bad for you.
Right.
Well, they're complacent.
Right.
You know, they believe they want to be led by like a sheep, like a bull with a ring in its nose, by the government. Yeah, okay. If you say that's the way it is, and that's the way it is, and you don't think. You know, you're just being led. You're being herded around like sheep. And that's exactly, listen, I listened to a tape back in 91 about a guy who defected from the Illuminati, and he said exactly what has been going on today in 91, and that was before Clinton was even president. And he said that they wanted to turn this into one world government. They wanted to turn the dollar into zero dollar. You know, and all this has been coming true, you know, I have to say something about us truck drivers, us CDL holders.
Yeah, you're a CDL, and you've been driving truck for a long time. Hey, Biker, we have to go to break, so you want to...
Okay.
We're going to talk more with Biker Bob about trucking, and also, he's a big motorcycle guy. We want to talk to you about motorcycle safety, what type of... You know, bike you ride. I'm a big fan of Sons of Anarchy. I just got through with that show. I mean, again, it's television, but it was a great show. We'll be right back.
I met her in the club down in Otoho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A, Lola. Lola, Lola, Lola. Well, I'm not the world's most physical guy, but when she squeezed me tight she nearly broke my spine.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. By the way, broadcasting all over the universe on Podbean.
And SoundCloud and
Radio FM.
And Radio FM.
Google Play.
All you have to do, download the podcast app for your phone. Search for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Listen at free will to any of the past shows, including this one. And you can also hear it on 98.5 UPS and Rock 105 and Rock 95.5 in Traverse City, Sheboygan.
Absolutely, hey, I have a big shout-out here before we continue with my good friend Biker Bob on the show. I'm in Midland last week. I stopped off at the 7-Eleven over on Waldo. And
oh, thank heaven.
For 7-Eleven. But I'm at the Waldo. I had to go over to the county jail, see someone. I'm at the Waldo on Bay City Road one. I walk in, and very customer service-oriented. As it turns out, the lady who owns that franchise, Bridget Hall, is the girlfriend of my buddy Ryan, who owns the 7-Eleven in Mount Pleasant.
Oh, okay.
Small world. So big shout out to Bridget Hall. If you're in Midland, stop off at her store, 7-Eleven at Waldo and Bay City Road. And if you're in Mount Pleasant, make sure we have two 7-Elevens, and Ryan's is over by the towers over there on campus.
Oh, know that 7-Eleven.
Ryan Chappell. Good folks over there. But, hey, we're talking with my good friend Biker Bob, who at the end of the break on the last segment was about to talk about the fact that he's a trucker and had something to say about that.
Well, it's just something to say about the medical marijuana rights that individuals have. You know, a CDL holder cannot participate in anything like that, even if he's in the state
federal law
that he lives in. Yeah, but it's a federal law, exactly, which I feel is a violation of that each individual's right. I mean, I really firmly believe that what a man does on his own time is his own business. As long as he doesn't carry it to work, and as long as it doesn't affect his, that he should be able to do what he wants. Get drunk, smoke weed, you know, stab himself in the arm, whatever.
Right.
You know, as long as he doesn't carry it to work and harm anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he should be able to, it's a right of privacy. And the right of privacy is getting invaded every time you turn around, and especially for us truck drivers. That look, I don't drink. I don't like to drink. I've drank, but I don't like it. My dad was an alcoholic. My brother was. They're not. I mean, my dad's passed away. God bless his soul. my brother, he's quit. He's quit for like 6 years now.
Good for him.
He's doing really well. He was really bad. But, you know, I believe that it's each individual to conduct themselves and realize when they're out of control.
Right. Hey, question for you, Biker.
Go ahead.
Are you working out right now, Biker?
No, are you still hooking up the truck?
No. I just got out of my truck and walked to my car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let's talk about trucker safety. One thing that really pees me off is when I see cars, trucks, you know, that are tailgating the big 18-wheelers. I mean, you are moving commerce across this country so that we can enjoy things in our homes, when we're out socializing. People need to have more respect for truckers because those are men and women. They're our brothers, our sisters, and they're working so hard and driving such long distances. What do you see out there, or have you seen, are some of the biggest abuses of drivers?
You know what? I have a dash cam.
Good for you.
I put in my windshield every day. It's running every day. And these cars seem to think that it's NASCAR anytime they're around us because they are cutting in and out. Like I had a guy pass me on the left coming down 75 South, coming up on University exit. He passes me. Now, I'm in the right lane. He passes me on the left just to come all the way over and to get off. They're in a big hurry. They don't want to be behind the big truck. But what happens to a big truck when he's on the rear end of a car? And this happened to me in Oklahoma City. I was going up 44, the toll road. And there was an officer on the side of the road. He had somebody pulled over. Well, I'm coming up on a guy. Now, mind you, speed limit's like 75, something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
I'm coming up on a guy in the right lane. So I get in the left lane, and I'm going to pass this guy. Well, all of a sudden, this guy puts his blinker on, comes right over in front of me as I'm going by the officer that had this guy pulled over on the side. So I get by, and this guy gets over, you know, beat my horn, he gets over. I get pulled over, and I had it on dash cam. And the officer says, why were you following that tailgate in that car? I said, well, sir, he cut in front of me as we were coming up on you. And I said, I could even show you on dash cam. Nope, he didn't even want to see it. He gave me a warning for following too close. And it wasn't even my fault.
And those tickets that truckers receive, some of those fines are enormous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always keep a clear distance behind truckers. I always blink my lights to let them in.
Yep.
I mean, you just got to have so much respect for truckers on the road. Now, let's get into motorcycles. Because, Biker, I mean, what kind of bike do you ride?
I got a 94 Dyna Wide Glide.
Beautiful.
I bought it. It had 9,900 miles on it. And I bought it last year.
Oh, wow.
And with the weather that's warmed up now, I've seen already motorcycles out there.
Yep.
I mean, have you been out yet this year?
No, not yet. I just bought the oil to change the oil, spark plugs, and I'm going to drain the gas. And I've been itching, though. I've been itching. Oh, yeah.
You know, but there's another thing. Again, you have to respect motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And I always stay 2 to 3 car lengths behind the cycles because what if there's an accident? What if they need to get out of the way or a deer runs out? Mm-hmm. You cannot be right on them. My good friend Frank Bailey, we love Frank. Frank's from this town. Frank was on his Harley last year. He's alive. He got ran over.
Yeah.
He got ran over, and he's alive. So big shout out to Frank.
Let me tell you a story about my brother Crush. He was going down last year. He was going down Outer Drive, I think it is, or something, in October. Somebody rear-ended him, and he has a dresser, like a police special. And somebody had rear-ended him, and he don't wear a helmet. He launched him into the car going by him. He hit the back corner of that car, hit his head on the ground, on cement, knocked him out. He got run over by 2 cars. They carried him to the hospital, and they treated – he was like – he's Superman to me. I would have been dead.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, my God. I seen that picture, and it scared me. Really, it scared me to even ride.
Now, do you wear a helmet, Biker Bob?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do.
Because I understand. Now, trust me, I get that it's personal freedom, and if you are a safe rider and you don't want to wear a helmet, that's fine, but everybody should wear a helmet. I'm just saying. Because you don't know what other people are going to do.
Well, you know what? Listen, I asked them why they didn't wear a helmet, and they said, well, you know, I would rather be dead than be a paraplegic. because you wear a helmet, and it depends on the crash. You know, you can get killed. You snap your neck. You know,
yep.
And you know, it sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes a helmet is will help you, but there's times where it's not going to help you.
And
it's not going to matter.
And bikers give so much back to society from, you know, helping veterans and charitable runs and raising funds for local communities. I mean, what are some of the things you've done as a biker, Biker Bob, to give, you know?
Well, we have done Toys for Tots runs. You know, we a few years back when the two Detroit police officers had gotten shot, we had did a benefit party for them, raised up some money, and we you know, come Christmas time, we gather up monies and we buy gifts for the poor people, you know, the poor kids in the neighborhood, you know, the kids that we know are not going to have a good Christmas.
Right.
I mean, like last year we sponsored two families and we bought their kids all kinds of Christmas gifts. So it's like we are very conscientious of the neighborhood and of doing good.
Absolutely.
To improve our image from the stereotyped image that a biker club has.
Right. I mean, these are.
And for the record, it's a club, not a gang.
Right.
And there's more patriotic members, bikers, than there are people in Washington.
Could not agree with you more. Biker. We speak the same language. I cannot agree with you more. I always say, I'm all for term limits. And number two, we're not Democrats or Republicans. We're Americans.
That's right.
Period.
Exactly.
And you know what? And we need people like you, like your brothers. We need real Americans to run this country in Washington. And it just doesn't happen because the way the system is set up, you have to have so much money and special interests. It's rigged.
Career politics.
It's rigged.
The whole thing,
Well, yeah, exactly. The career politicians that's made a killing on being a politic when that's not the way this system was set up in the very beginning.
Exactly.
And that's why it says on that Second Amendment to keep bear arms to protect yourself against, I can't remember exactly how it is worded, but it's basically a tyrant government.
Hey, we have to go to break here in a few minutes, but we have one more segment with Biker Bob.
Yep.
And we love Biker Bob. Before we go to break, Biker Bob, but let's talk about what listeners can do to keep motorcyclists safe. What would you recommend a trucker, someone in a truck or car do if there's bikes around?
I mean, pay attention, first of all. Stop, get your face out of the phone.
Yes, number one.
Yep.
You know, that goes for any type of driving. Get your face out of the phone because you are going to kill somebody or yourself. You know, and then pay attention. You know, I mean, just pay attention.
Right? Yeah, that's great advice. Hey, before we go to break, any other shout-outs you want to give? A shout-out to anybody?
Oh, well, shout-out to my brothers out there, Detroit Highwaymen.
Okay.
Best clubs around, is the best club around. My brother's club, the Penetrators, another good club. My brother Rick, Little Rick, Bulldog, Devil Dog, bunch of good guys over there.
Yep. The clubs do some great stuff for the community, the people, and we're big supporters of clubs and anyone and everyone who's on a bike. I'm always shredding myself, although it's self-propelled and
different kind of bike.
On my Salsa Spearfish carbon fiber, a little different than what Biker's talking about, but I love my bike. But hey, we have to go to break. When we come back from break, we'll continue talking to
Biker Bob on the Todd L. Lovett Law Show.
We'll be right back.
Champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A Lola, Lola. She won't.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting once again in the middle of the Mitten, the nutrient-filled Mitten, on a beautiful, beautiful day, Craig Russell.
I know. The weather, it's been kind of choppy here and there. There was a lot of snow a couple of days ago. It's kind of better now.
Had some great pizza yesterday.
Did you? Where at?
I was up in Whitmore.
Okay.
You know where Whitmore is?
Yep.
At Mikey's Pizzeria.
Ooh.
What a great place. Yep, Mikey's Pizzeria. Mike Arndt is the proprietor of that.
I was going to ask you if somebody named Mike owned it.
Yeah, check it out. Can I just complain? Well, I have another complaint. Biker Bob, I have another complaint.
What a shock. Go ahead.
I have friends, you know, friends, acquaintances, who get up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And for whatever reason, they think it's okay to call and text me that early.
No.
I mean, and you would think they would get the hint when after the 100th time of texting me at 5:30 in the morning or calling me that I haven't responded. So, right. To all my friends out there,
Stop.
I'm not getting a phone. I'm sleeping in. I don't have to get up that early.
I get up at 4:30. Your friends can text me if they want.
Right, but you feel me, Biker Bob? I mean, there's some people.
Yeah,
I
do. You know, I get up at 4. Between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, I get up. And I get ready for work and all that. But I hear you, because that would get underneath my skin, too, if somebody's texting me when I'm trying to sleep. And it's just, I guess it's disrespect. You know, I mean, not being courteous is what it is. It's not being courteous for the other person.
And I can attest to that, too, because I get up at like 4:30 because I do the morning show. So I usually go to bed, you know, 9, 9:30. Somebody's texting me at 10 o'clock. Guess what?
Yeah.
I ain't answering it.
Are you trying to tell me something, Craig?
No, I'm not telling you.
No. I'm sorry I text you last night at 10 o'clock.
You know what I do? You know what I do, Craig?
What's that?
I turn my phone down.
Well,
I got to
keep it up in case there's an emergency or something like that. You know, like the radio station goes off the air or something. But if I hear the text, I just go, I am trying to sleep. Forget you. I'll answer you in the morning.
I got another idea. I think I'm going to get rid of my phones and just get satellite phones. And just give, like, Biker will have a satellite phone. Just a few people I love will have a satellite phone.
That'll work.
And by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with my good friend, Biker Bob. Biker Bob and I have known each other literally almost 40 years. We met when I was 16. I'm in my 50s now. And if you didn't hear it the first segment, I was stranded way up north on a backcountry road. And along came this larger-than-life figure, who he still is to me today. Biker, I mean, I love and respect you so much. And he was there, and he helped me out, and we've been friends ever since, like close friends. There's never been one time where Biker has not been there for me, literally. He's that guy.
I will for the rest of my life for you, Todd, because you are like blood to me.
Same here.
That's awesome.
I love you like a brother.
I love you too, brother. Awesome. And so, hey, look, we've been talking about all kinds of things. We've been talking about motorcycle safety. Let's talk a little bit more about motorcycle safety.
Sure.
What, Craig, you got a question?
So, Biker Bob, I wanted to ask you, because I don't ride, I'm not a rider, but have you ever been thrown off your bike? Have you ever been run off the road? Have you ever been in a crash before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been run off out of my lane. I've crashed on Southfield Freeway. You know, I bottomed out of my bike trying to get off the highway, and it threw me right over my handlebars. My bike went sliding down the side of the road, and I was lucky I didn't really get hurt. All I had was a hurt pride and road rash, but... Yeah, you know what it is? I had a buddy tell me when he's the one that taught me how to drive a truck, and he said, you will be able to sense when somebody is next to you. You can read what they're going to do. And I didn't really know what he was talking about until, you know, 30-some years later, driving a truck, I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I feel that guys that drive trucks, or people who drive trucks and drive for a living and deal with traffic every day, they're more aware of what a person is going to do. They can basically second guess what they're going to do, and that's saved my derriere a few times.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. If you can kind of get a sense when something's going to happen? That's what you obviously answer that. That obviously has happened.
Yeah. Because you have to drive defensively and offensively. Then you're at the same time. But you have to be able to read the traffic. You got to watch, see if this guy's driving erratically, if this guy's driving slow, if this guy's going to go flying around him, and you know. But there's times where you get caught off guard, like my buddy. He got rear-ended. Wasn't even expecting it. You know, my brother Crush. Love him to death. I love that man to death. He's my brother.
Now here's a complete 180. Let's talk about you as a drummer. I want to
great musician.
Tell me about you as a drummer. I want to hear about
Biker Bob is a great musician.
Are you in a band right now or anything, or you just do it on your own?
No, I'm wanting to get into a band. I have a good friend of mine. I used to be in a band called Output. Now, we're having a reunion this summer because we were together for, I think, like 3 years, 4 years, something like that. And we had, like, we could play two separate nights all different songs. We could play all different songs one night, all different songs the next night. So we had really, you know, we played for a while. And we're going to have a reunion, and it's going to happen this summer. We're going to start our first rehearsal on March 11th. We're going to have a few rehearsals until the big party this summer.
We'll play some of your music right here on the show. We'll come and play some music right here on the show, okay. Biker.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
Hey,
yeah. We play covers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys play the Kinks? You play Lola?
Lola.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I met her. How's this?
Craig. Don't even start it,
you
man.
You know the words to Lola?
Nobody wants to hear you sing.
You play it all the time.
Nobody wants to hear you sing.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they don't.
I met her in a club down in North Soho where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola.
Now, who sings that song?
The Kinks.
Keep it that way.
Hey.
Keep it that way.
Hey, listen, we've been talking with Biker Bob. Yeah. Biker, love having you on the show. You're invited back to come back on the show.
I'm
a defense attorney, but I do have one more complaint, and I want to get your opinion on this, Biker. I've been waiting to have you on the show to ask you about this. A couple weeks ago, I was out at lunch, and I was buying lunch for a couple individuals who I was with. One person ordered this and that, and the other person did not want to eat, and they said, you know what, I'll order something and take it home for dinner. Now, I found that extremely inappropriate.
Yeah.
This is not a family member of mine, not even a close friend. It was just a business associate, another attorney, and he wanted to take it home for dinner. I said, no. If you want to order something, take it home for dinner, then I'm not buying your lunch for dinner.
Yeah.
So I said, no. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree with you 100%. You took him out so you both could enjoy a meal.
A lunch.
That's right.
Not so you could have a take. I mean, if it was you, Biker, or Craig, or my inner circle, that's a different story.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't do it either.
Wouldn't do it. Anyway. Yeah. Hey, Biker, we love you, bro. And be safe out there on the cycle, all the motorcycles. Look out for the cycles, the big 18-wheelers.
Yep.
And just be safe on the roads. As Biker said, don't text and drive. Right, Biker?
Right. And don't drink and drive.
Yeah, definitely don't drink and drive.
Right.
Hey, we'll have you on down the road, Biker Bob. We love you. Have a safe, happy, healthy day.
Love you, too.
Oh, having Biker Bob on was great. That was awesome. Great show. Great show.
I've known him for 40 years, and he's been such a good friend. And it's always fun to get, you know, different opinions. But he's one of the smartest guys I know.
Yep, and very opinionated, and he's got a lot of good things to say.
But he's always given me just the best advice.
That's awesome.
And you have to have people in your life who you have to trust that their advice is the right advice.
Treasure that and hold on.
I'm serious.
Because I've had a couple of people in my life who were that kind of influence on me, and they both passed on. And sometimes I really wish they were still around. So, man,
his friendship.
As long as you've
got
Biker Bob in your life, keep that. Yes.
My cousin AZ is the same way.
Gotcha.
So, hey, we have to go.
Show's over. All right.
Craig, what a great show. We're going to end the show with Lola.
I know.
You don't want me to sing it.
I don't want you to
sing
it.
All right. Hey, have a great afternoon. We'll see you same place, same time next week right here on the .11 Law Show. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out, Craig Russell. La, 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 la.
Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.